You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the podcast where we talk about all the major league baseball. And I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. It's April 1st. I do not celebrate April Fool's Day, but I do celebrate the birthday of my late grandfather, David Sullivan. This is a podcast where we are going to be bringing in a guest who is Connor Newcomb, the host of Locked On Orioles. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. When you tell your smart device as you're home and staying safe, play podcast Locked On MLB, or maybe say play podcast Locked On Orioles, or check out any of the great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are on Twitter at Locked On MLB _net. We're also available on Instagram at Locked On MLB. I am your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And as I mentioned before, I am welcoming to the podcast the host of Locked On Orioles, and a veteran of many places like the Hagerstown Suns, and I believe a Terp forever. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, the University of Maryland grad, and will always be a Terp fan and always have the Terps in my heart.
Well, then that would be the voice of Connor Newcomb. Welcome to the show, Connor.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to talk some baseball.
How long have you been doing the announcing for the Hagerstown Suns?
So last year was my first year with Hagerstown, and looking like it could be my only year with Hagerstown between all the movement that happens in the minor leagues, plus, you know, what's going on with not just Major League Baseball, but if people got to remember, you know, you've got 30 Major League Baseball teams not having a season. You've got, you know, quadruple that of minor league teams currently trying to figure out what is happening. So it was a 1 year stop for me in Hagerstown, but I enjoyed it, and I really got a good taste of the minors in Hagerstown. Not as many of the bells and whistles that you'll find there, but it's still, you know, kind of hometown minor league baseball.
Hey, good. Just going back to last year with the Suns, what player did you see with the Suns that really caught your eye as saying, hey, this is someone who may be making it to the show? Who's like the nucleolouche of the Suns that you saw?
Yeah, so if you're going to go nucleolouche, I'll go pitching here. The Suns had some good arms that didn't end up with a winning record last year for Hagerstown. They had a really, really bad start to the season, and then were really good in the second half last year, but it just wasn't enough. But we saw some good arms last year, and the Nats first round pick last year, Jackson Rutledge. He's a right-hander, still 20 years old. He'll turn 21 on April 1st. So birthday coming up for him. But Rutledge went to junior college for a year and then went to the draft, that kind of like roundabout way to just go to college for 1 year and then get drafted. And he was a Nats first round pick. I mean, he's throwing the ball in the upper 90s, but he's not just a guy who says, you know, I have a 98 mile per hour fastball and that's how I'm going to get you out. He had four good pitches. I believe he had a couple of 10 strikeout games last year, you know, even after only joining the team in June. But Rutledge, you know, it looked like the Nats, who probably had to do some deeper scouting to find a guy from junior college in the first round, but 6'8" right-hander with some really good stuff. And, he was definitely a guy who you watched and you felt, you know, the Nats, it seems like at least for now, made a good decision with their first round pick.
Mm. And any hitters, what hitters do you think would caught your eye with the team last year?
Yeah, it was interesting last year. It felt like, you know, and you never know because these guys got to develop for a while, but it felt like the Nats had a really good draft last season in 2019. Because Hagerstown got about four or five of the top picks ended up in Hagerstown last year. And one guy who really impressed me was Drew Mendoza. He was a corner infielder out of Florida State that the Nationals drafted last year. And he came in, they put him right in the middle of the lineup, left-handed hitter,
6'5", big guy, but who can also, you know, play a good third base and first base. So not any kind of a defensive liability. He could really hit the ball, had power, hit it to all fields. And he was a guy, he was a top five round pick last year for the Nationals. And, you know, he was a guy who will probably be a fairly fast riser because he's a little bit older, you know, was in college for 3 years and starred at a really good school in Florida State and a really good baseball program. But it was, you know, not being a Nats fan, but working in the organization last year, it felt like just from what we saw, they had a pretty good draft because the players who, you know, really impressed me most were the guys who didn't show up till June.
All right, well, let's switch tactics just one more time here because you are also the host of Locked On Orioles, as you and I are both members of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, it is, let's be kind, not the best few years in Baltimore Orioles history that we've had over the last couple of seasons, but they have seemed to be pretty smart in the draft. They got some good players back in Manny Machado. They certainly did better than the Red Sox did with Mookie Betts. And you might see, whenever the season starts up again, you might see this team who is starting to flood their organization with prospects have some optimism, if not for 2020, then maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road. What's your thoughts going into, if we have a season, what your thoughts are on the Orioles as they're currently constituted?
Yeah, so everybody knows it's a rebuild right now for Baltimore. The O's, after basically being terrible all of the early 2000s, finally pulled it together in 2012 and made the playoffs. Won the division in 2014, back to the postseason in 2016. And then after 2017, things kind of fell apart. You mentioned they traded Manny among a lot of other players. And now we're right in the middle of a rebuild. 54 wins last season. The expectation is something between 50 and 55 wins had they played 162 games this year. But it'll be a similar season to that. And it may even be, you know, a little bit better, but something like that again in 2021. And the, you know, my feeling and the feeling around the fan base is, look, it stinks to lose these games. The Orioles had the most wins in the American League for a 5-year stretch between 2012 and 2016. So despite never getting to the World Series, you know, the fans expected again, you know, somewhat of a winner with all these great hitters. And yeah, they never had an ace, but they had some of the best home run hitters in baseball all on one team. And now to kind of watch this team, you know, they were a little bit more of an enjoyable bad last year than they were 2 years ago. They had some guys who kind of came out of nowhere to have solid seasons. And of course, Trey Mancini turned himself into a star last year, but it'll be tough for a couple more years, but they got Adley Rutschman, the catcher from Oregon State, the number one pick in the draft last year. Despite the shortened draft, they have the number two pick in this year's draft. And a lot of people expect them to take Spencer Torkelson, who's a home run hitter from Arizona State. And they've got a really good pool of prospects. They haven't had a good farm system in my lifetime plus, really. And this is the best farm system they've had in a while, pitching and hitting wise. And so it's exciting to look down the road. But as you said, it's tough right now to watch them play. But then again, you know, I'd love to have an Orioles game, you know, first pitch coming 3 hours from now, even if it meant they were losing 8-1 to the Yankees and Gleyber Torres was hitting three homers.
Well, I think, let me just, from my point of view, not as an Oriole fan, as someone who is just watching it from afar, I think, first of all, it's Rutschman. How do you pronounce his last name? Rutschman? We'll find out eventually because he will be a star in the majors, but you pronounce it, right? It's Rutschman, right?
Yeah. Adley Rutschman.
Rutschman. Okay. It's Nevada, like Nevada all over again. Rutschman. Okay. But you have players like Austin Hayes, like Mountcastle, like Dean Kremer. You got a bunch of guys who are either at major league level or almost there. Like, it's like you're going to see the first sort of harvest of the rebuild whenever the season begins. Thank you.
but I'm going to stay home. I'm going to not go out, but I will. I can't cook everything. I can't cook everything. You know, my kids here, we can't cook everything here. So sometimes I gotta reach into the well. Sometimes I gotta go check out Postmates. And let me tell you something, Postmates will deliver you stuff. They delivered us, well, they delivered us ribs the other day from a place down the street. They delivered us Thai food the other day from a great place in Pasadena. And you know what? It's not just burgers and sushis. They can do all sorts of things. You don't want to go to the grocery store. Guess what? Postmates will take care of it. And they drop it right on the front porch or wherever it is. So they're all taking the precautions that you need in this weird time. So you don't have to make the trips to the store. You don't have to make the late night food runs. You know? Just download the Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorite. Get anything you want delivered within the hour. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Start your free deliveries. Download the app. Use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $100 free delivery credit. No minimum purchase. First 7 days. Download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you get it, that's Postmates. Now, let me tell you something. With all that food I'm shoving in my face from Postmates, makes me not want to step on the scale. And you know what? A lot of people don't like stepping on the scale. Maybe it's because they haven't met the right one. Well, a company called Withings produced the first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is the key, but also have the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on, and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com. For a very limited time, go to withings.com, withings.com/MLB, and get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's Withings, withings.com/MLB, to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale.
And I also think one of the reasons, and again, I'm not going to speak for you, but this is as an outside observer, is that, yeah, last year was rough, but it may have seemed like it was more fun than the 2018 campaign because you didn't have the Manny Machado, are we going to trade him, or are we not going to trade him, cloud hanging over the team the whole year. I mean, you see that sometimes when a team is having a disappointing season and you realize early on, okay, it's not going to happen this year. And you know you've got this trade chip. It almost turns the season into an auction for the player rather than an enjoyable season. And I've seen this it happened to a lesser degree with San Francisco last year when they were wondering, should we trade Bumgarner? Should we not trade Bumgarner? And that hung over the team until eventually they went on a winning streak. It's like, let's hang on to him. Why not? But once that happened, everything seemed to relax. And I bet Oriole fans were, and maybe even the team during the 2018 campaign, were probably thinking, geez, do we have to deal with this freaking, are we going to trade Manny Machado thing or not all season long? And they didn't have that last year. So I think maybe that was one of the reasons why it felt more enjoyable, even though they were still lousy both of the seasons. Now it was like, okay, now we can focus on moving forward. Now we can focus on making the trying to build a team for the 2020s.
Yeah, and you're right about that. And obviously Machado was the big piece, you know. And I think the other thing looming over that made it even more really unenjoyable was it's not just, you know, the Manny looming trade, but you're also talking about the Manny looming that, first of all, they never really gave him enough in contract negotiations to where he would, you know, seriously consider coming back to Baltimore. And the other thing was, you know, he was going to be a free agent, and where would he sign? And because so many signs pointed really throughout that season to maybe not the Orioles trading him to New York, but that Manny would sign with the Yankees, I think made it even worse because Oriole fans were so worried that he would be a New York Yankee and he'd be playing in pinstripes 19 times a year against the Orioles. That probably made it even a little worse for us fans. But then he signs with San Diego in the offseason. But you know, it was more than him. You know, at that deadline, they ended up trading him, Jonathan Scope, Kevin Gausman, Darren O'Day. They really shipped out a lot of that team. They had traded Zach Britton earlier as well. And so, you know, once that all happened, you finally felt like you could start to get to know some of the new guys in 2019. And, you know, they got a couple of prospects up to the big leagues. Austin Hayes got back to the bigs and did well. DJ Stewart, an outfielder, got to the big leagues and had some key hits. They got to show off, you know, some of their catchers that are kind of going to hold down the fort until Rutschman is ready. But also, I think it was fun because the Orioles picked up some guys on waivers and through some interesting ways that really shined. Renato Nunez was a waiver claim who hit 31 home runs last season for the Orioles out of nowhere. Hanser Alberto, a waiver claim who the Orioles actually claimed in the offseason, waived, then claimed him again to get him back. Ended up hitting 400 against lefties last year, right around there, led the league in hitting against left-handers. He had an exciting season to follow. A former Rule 5 pick, Anthony Santander, in the outfield, looks like he might actually be a corner outfielder of the future for the Orioles. And then Trey Mancini had a year where he should have been an all-star and wasn't, and our one all-star, John Means, you know, broke out as a left-handed starter. So it actually became kind of fun to see these guys who weren't exactly, you know, the top prospects coming up, but guys who still produced at the major league level. And then 2020, 2021 is really when these prospects start to come up, and you feel like by 2022, maybe they start winning again.
Well, that was, it's funny that I remember Stacy Gatsoulias, who's the host of Locked On Yankees, has also been a guest on Bull Durham Minute, could not, she was apoplectic that the Yankees did not sign Machado when he was a free agent, especially when he was dangling out. Remember, his free agency went deep into spring training, and she's like, why are we not signing this guy? And some people gave him grief for signing with San Diego. I will never give a person grief for being a millionaire in San Diego. San Diego is a lovely city to be a millionaire in. I've never personally been a millionaire in San Diego, but I'd love to find out. But yeah, that was a bullet dodged, I think, by Baltimore to have him sign outside the division. We're thinking about Manny Machado. One of the I'm not trying to rub salt in any proverbial wounds here, but one of the what ifs of Orioles history was in 2014, as Machado was hurt in the last about, I guess it was the month, last month and a half of the season, and he was not available in the postseason. He didn't play in that division series against Detroit or the league championship series against the Royals. Now, the Royals did sweep Baltimore for the pennant, but I'm sure you remember, but people out there, it was not a lopsided four games. They happened to be four tight games that the Royals just happened to win all of them. And I can't help but wonder, having a healthy Machado in that lineup may have tipped one or two games in the Orioles' favor, and there may have been a pennant for Showalter during his reign in Baltimore.
Yeah, you talk about that ALCS. It was four games decided by a total of six runs. Game one went to extra innings in Baltimore. Games three and four in Kansas City were both 2-1 finals that the Royals won and advanced to the World Series. And, you know, it's tough, and they didn't have Machado, and you just always kind of felt it. And he's so great defensively, so you feel that. But Ryan Flaherty, who played third throughout most of that postseason, he was a great defender too, so you didn't really feel it as much there. but every time it got to that two or three hole in the order, and it was Alejandro Deaza instead of Manny Machado. And you know, Deaza came over at the waiver trade deadline that year and did a fine job filling in the outfield, but you just felt like this should be Manny Machado. And every time it wasn't, and you didn't feel it in the Tigers series, because as soon as that Tigers bullpen came in, the Orioles just jumped on them and it didn't really matter. But every time in that Kansas City game, those games were so close, especially those games in Kansas City where the Orioles just couldn't hit. They scored two runs in two games. Every time it wasn't Manny Machado coming up in that two hole or that three hole, you just felt it. And also the one people forget about less, Matt Wieters actually got Tommy John surgery in May that year. So the Orioles were without their starting catcher to that entire season. And not having those two guys in the lineup all year, but especially losing Manny late, obviously hurt. And you just think, I just think about it so much, especially those games in Kansas City, because the Orioles pitched so well, a team not known for their pitching against a lineup that was beating everybody at that point. And you just felt like Manny could have made one swing to change it. You're right. It's probably the biggest what if for Orioles fans that are around my age at this point, is that ALCS without Machado.
Because that was the 1 year Cruz was in Baltimore, and Markakis was still a fine hitter. He still got a lot of pop from Adam Jones. Still got a lot of pop from Scope. You know, Chris Davis obviously was his batting average was in the cesspool, but he could still pop a homer out if got a hold of it. And to have, if you had someone like Machado at the number two hole with all those sluggers coming out there, you've got to think that they would have pushed one or two more runs. Because even if it wasn't his production, it was how does that affect the rest of the lineup? And you're right. Someone like Deaza did a fine job for them in the 2 months he was on the team. But he's someone you'd want to have towards the end of the lineup to have the lineup turn over again, as opposed to getting all those at-bats at the top of the order. And I remember being stunned by that ALCS, because when I saw it was Buck Showalter going against Yost, I said, oh, this is going to be someone playing chess against someone playing tic-tac-toe. And that's one of the what-ifs of recent baseball playoffs, is what if that team was totally healthy? Because I do think they would have won the pennant. I thought they were going to win the World Series that year. Not to rub it in. I mean,
you get Manny, you get Wieters, and you mentioned Chris Davis. He was not good that year, but sandwiched on top of that year was 2013, 53 homers, and 2015, mm-hmm. 47 homers. So although he wasn't good, Davis actually got a suspension at the end of that season, 25 games for using Adderall and not having it approved, his prescription approved by Major League Baseball.
Oh, I totally forgot that.
He would have been back for the World Series, I believe, but he was suspended for all of the ALDS and ALCS. They didn't even have him either. And now he didn't have a great season, but was just another guy. And Steve Pierce was playing first. And to be quite honest with you, Pierce had a much better season than Davis. But if you need one pitch for a home run in a big spot at that point in their careers, I'm still going Chris Davis over Steve Pierce.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that suspension. My God. By the way, for those of you who don't 100% remember that Orioles team, they had an okay rotation. They had, I'm looking it up on baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth. They had a bunch of guys who were okay starting pitchers, like Chen, like Tillman, but their bullpen that year with Zach Britton, they had acquired Andrew Miller, they had Darren O'Day, they had Tommy Hunter. Their bullpen could not be scored upon. So if you had, it's what made that series against Kansas City so frustrating, which was if you just pushed a lead at any point, that bullpen was going to hold it. And when they're losing games 2-1, and knowing that Chris Davis was taking Adderall, Matt Wieters was in the trainer's room, and Manny Machado was injured, and all they needed was to push two more runs across a mediocre Royals starting pitching staff, they'd be able to hand over to that bullpen. That was, I'm being cruel. I am being cruel, and I'm the first to admit that I'm being cruel.
And you know, it still hurts. And when Major League Baseball did its, you know, one special game for all 30 teams on what would have been opening day last week, they played game two of that ALDS for the Orioles when Delmon Young had a bases clearing double in the eighth to give the O's the win over the Tigers. And you just remember that as kind of the best Orioles moment of the past 10 years, really. But you think about what could have been in that next series. The thing about that series is, though, not that Orioles fans forget it, and they don't, because they were so close to beating that Royals team, but the Royals almost seemed unstoppable. And I know they came up one game short, obviously, against the Giants in the World Series, but they were just so good that year and won the next year. Because, you know, that series hurts, but because of what happened 2 years later in the 2016 wild card game with Buck Showalter not putting Zach Britton into the game, and that being the last playoff game the Orioles have played in was that wild card game. The pain of that one, losing in extra innings, having Ubaldo Jimenez on the mound instead of the best relief pitcher in baseball, the hurt from that almost takes away some from remembering that ALCS.
Man, I'm bringing in the pain. I didn't mean to bring the pain. As we're all sitting here quarantined from COVID-19, I'm making you I'm hurting you, Connor. I don't mean to hurt you. I don't mean to. I swear to God, and Oriole fans, I don't mean to hurt you. Hey, Connor. Sorry, what were we gonna say?
I would love to be watching a baseball team right now that gets swept in the ALCS or loses a wild card game instead of a 100 loss team. So it hurts, but in perspective, it was still a lot better back then.
Yeah, it's true. It's what I say, that the team is supposed to give you a summer. That's when a team can give you a summer, they did their job. For a summer, you're watching the game. There's a sense of competitions. Why keep what's called the summer score? Like the number of days that you're in a playoff position after Memorial Day, that tallies up. Every day you wake up and say, oh, it's the summertime. How's my team doing? Hey, they're doing great. The more days you could say that, the more team can give that to you as a fan. That's their job. That's what their contract is. It's not just, oh, they're going to win the World Series. If that's the case, I'm guessing you're too young to remember the 1983 World Series. Then every season for the Orioles has been a failure, but that's not the case. But it's gotten a lot better since they went back to the smiling bird hat, I must admit.
Yes, it has basically lined up like that once they went back to that logo, which was 1,000, probably more than 1,000 times better. They started winning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did a video about that back in 2012 that I was glad that they went back to the hat. One of my biggest problem with the ornithologically correct hat, amongst many things, was that the Oriole was looking away. You know, it wasn't even watching the game. It was, you know, it was a sideways bird. The smiling bird, bird's watching it. Yep, he's got a grin on his face. He knows what's happening. All right, Connor Newcomb, thanks so much for being part of Bull Durham Minute. Where can people follow you? Where can people listen to you? And where can people see what you're posting?
Yeah, so on Twitter, at Connor Newcomb _. And then if you want to check out Locked On Orioles podcast, that's over on Twitter at Locked On Orioles. And right now, you know, with we've got a stay-at-home order put in Maryland right now where I am. So give me a lot of time to put out some podcasts. And the good thing too, you know, if I want to find any silver lining in this, is that, you know, a lot of people who I might want as guests have a lot more time on their hands. And people have been more willing to come on the pod. And I know this is maybe the only silver lining I can think of at this point, in an otherwise, you know, awful situation. But, we've got some good guests that we've had this week, last week, and coming up on Locked On Orioles.
All right, and check out all the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB_net and LockedOnMLB on Instagram. And tell your smart device while you're home and staying safe, play podcast Locked On MLB, podcast Locked On Orioles if you want, or maybe podcast Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Check out all those great shows. Well, this has been the Locked On MLB podcast for the first day of April 2020. Please be safe out there. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.